Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs.
Yes, Lord, we got a brand new president. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of
come on.
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Connecticut.
We're in the building. Sports City Chefs, the Callers Cookout. We're here, live in the flesh. Villain versus the timeless wonder, the hero. Well, good always wins, but let me tell you, without a good villain, there would be no hero. Every good hero needs a villain, and that's what I am. But call in number 929-477-2759. We're with you for the next 90-plus minutes, going through all things sports. Great time in this downtime of summer. Things are heating up, not just the weather, but the sports world in general. I got the co-host, with the most, the boss man, the head honcho himself, TP Timeless, the Timeless Wonder. TP, what's up, my brother?
I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped outside the kitchen. Timeless is alive. I'm feeling some type of way, especially with all of the news going around the sport world. The call-in number, as you know, 929-477-2759. We got you locked and loaded for the next 90 minutes or so, man. I'm feeling focused. This guy just got back from the islands, and he had him some oxtail. He turned into a rude boy, some Jamaican patchy. Yes, he had to go do the damn thing. So I'm happy he went and lived with us, man. Welcome back to the main island. Yes, come back to the States. And we're going to kick it around. We're going to have some fun.
No,
you see it? See it?
Yeah. I hear it. Listen, I had a great time. Me and the missus had to get away, went to Jamaica, as you probably have ascertained here from my TV. But had a good time, good vacation. But we're back, ready to work. Missed you, boys. Glad to hear your voice, TP. I know you had some physical ailments, but on the mend and you know, praying for you and hoping everything's good with you. But I'm glad to be back, man. I'm glad to get the hustle on, man. So how you feeling, brother?
You know, they got a little kryptonite out here. Had a faulty body to get back up, you know. But I do what I do in this kitchen, man. A wild one for my boys today at Minneapolis. I can't believe I seen 31 runs in a game, man. That's absolutely ridiculous, man, even though we lost. But that was just terrible. But yeah, man, I'm focused, man. August is in front of us. It's some football talk that I can't wait to see what's going on. And the Yankees pulled off a trade, so
yeah.
I mean, it's interesting. I'm focused, man.
Yeah, it's fun, man. Yeah, I definitely want to get a little baseball in before we get to all the other main dishes. Let's use that as an appetizer. But I want to bring in the other chefs that are waiting patiently to get into this kitchen. First and foremost, got the big homie from the 703 repping at that steel curtain, Aaron Sirius, Simmons. Sirius, what's going on, my brother?
You know, fellas, it's such a pleasure to be here with you guys this evening, man. I'm not sure if I caught what TP had, but, yo, keep the germs there in Connecticut. I'm not trying to catch it. You know what I'm saying? But anyways, man, very welcome back. I'm glad you and the missus was able to get away. It's always nice to, you know, get away, kind of recharge the batteries, man. So shout out to you and the missus for being able to get away, man. And we got a lot to talk about, everything from the diamond to the gridiron to over there in Tokyo, man. NBA draft is tomorrow, man. We got some stuff to talk about, man. So let's not waste anybody's time. Let's get to work.
Wait, Jern, what Jern are you talking about? What are we talking about?
There's a lot of different games going around here.
You was under the weather for a little bit. Barry was under the weather. I mean, me and the little man got I think it's RSV or something like that. So, you know, somebody battling little germs, but you know, it's all good. Your boy still got a voice, so he gonna still do what he do, man. Let's go.
I'm glad you're feeling better, man. It was crazy, man. It was like a rough, like, couple of days, almost like it just couldn't get through it, and finally did, and my wife had it too, so it's been going on around here, and I'm glad that you're on the mend, and your little man's on the mend, you know. We definitely love little Malik keeping serious on his toes, but I definitely got another caller in queue. I'm going to bring him in, then we're going to get into these dishes here from the 615. Mike Harvey calling in. Mike, how you doing, brother?
Hey, what's going on, man? I appreciate you having me. I know we got as my brother Timer said, we got a lot going on tonight. All of you said, welcome back from the islands. I'm happy to be chopping up with you guys. We got definitely have a lot to get to tonight, lots of things going on. So I'm excited to chop it up with you guys tonight. Thanks for having me, as always.
Absolutely, absolutely. Pleasure as always on this side of the table, but yeah, let's get into it. Little baseball, trade deadline is fast approaching, coming Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and some teams have wasted no time to improve themselves. You know, we had some trades earlier in the week while I was in the island trying to get some alerts here and there, but basically today it went down. The Yankees acquired Joey Gallo from the Rangers, and the Oakland Athletics acquired Starling Marte, big name that was made available at the trade deadline. They acquired him from the Miami Marlins, and Miami's fitting some of that bill as well to make the trade work. So, I mean, TP Timeless, I'll come to you. I know there'll probably be a couple more trades happening. Max Scherzer seems like he's open to being traded, but he has a no-trade clause. You know, Tim Story is still out there. Yankees and the San Francisco Giants have inquired about him and made offers to him, but it looks like, you know, it's going to take a lot to pry him away. A couple other names are definitely available, but what do you think about the two trades that went down today with Starling Marte and Joey Gallo?
Marte has always been a productive player, big name that's being moved. But the Gallo situation, you know, that bothers me the most, especially you knowing me personally, because I don't like to see any additions go to the New York Yankees because they already are a juggernaut to deal with. And they're picking up a player from a Ranger team that's actually trying to prove himself that he's still relevant, or I don't even want to say relevant. I feel like I'm being harsh in saying that, but have something to prove to the world that he's going to one of the more favorable teams in the league. And if he could just bring some type of impact, this could probably help them in the AL East. That's something that I'm concerned about. But the one thing that I'm watching the most is the Max Scherzer situation, because he's still a good starting pitcher, and I wonder what roster he could go to make an impact as well. But between those two, I think the Gallo situation helps, because you're adding another gun to murderer's row, regardless of how you look at it. I just really think, like, the pitching is another issue that the Yankees need to figure out, and having that run productivity be consistent. But just watching that happen. But Marte definitely is an interesting move as well. And, I mean, I'm a few days away from watching Nelson Cruz leave the Twins and go to the Rays as well, and I didn't get to speak on that. And that just broke my heart watching that happen. But, I mean, they're trying to squeeze a lot of this in by the trade deadline. Wait, say that again? I couldn't hear you.
I'd love to get your opinion on that, too. I've definitely missed that before I came to you.
I really thought he would retire at 20 because he's late in the game now. Nelson is 41. He's a year older than us. And it's like, why not let him retire there? His first home run happened there. His 400th home run happened, I think, last year or the second, 2 years ago. And he was questioning on coming back to baseball. And you bring him back, and he's having a decent, productive year, but the team is not doing good at all. and you just trade him to say, oh, we want to see him win a championship. It's like, wait, no, you keep him there. Like, regardless, you did the same thing to Jim Tomei. So if Jim Tomei came to the Twins and he's on a team where he's hit over 600 home runs, but you're losing, you should have got rid of him too. So that poo-poo, are we going to do better for the player type of situation? I'm not trying to hear that. Nelson Cruz came back for the organization because he liked it. He had a good camaraderie with Miguel Sano. They're brothers, kind of. You know what I mean? Like, so it's just tough, you know. But watching him go down there, and he's hitting bombs for the Rays already. So I'm like, this is going to be tough to fill the shoes of Nelson Cruz in Minneapolis.
Go ahead, Matt.
No, you can go first, man. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I definitely want to. Go ahead.
I think on the other side of that, like, as big an impact as Gallo has on the Yankees, I think that Cruz is a huge, huge bat and a huge impact on that Tampa lineup. He brings a guy, you know, a veteran guy, like you said, 41 years old, that has done it for a long time. So he comes in, garnered a lot of respect in what is a very young clubhouse. He's a very welcome addition and good piece for that Tampa team. They already got a lot of young prospects, you know, bringing Franco up this year. And with all the arms that they have there, they have a very talent-rich farm system. So the Twins got some things that, you know, maybe will pay off for them. Maybe not. We'll see. But for Tampa, like, I think that might be the shot in the arm that offense needs and that team needs to continue to keep pace with and possibly pass those other teams in the American League East. I think that's a huge, huge move for them. And so I like seeing them in Oakland, two smaller market franchises, at least make some impactful moves. I like I like Adam Frazier to the Padres because he can play all over the field and he's having a good year. So he'll immediately slide in at the top of that order. The Padres are going all in. I wouldn't be surprised to see them somehow come up with something in that Scherzer deal. A.J. Preller has been known to deal a lot of people to try to get a big piece. I would not be shocked if he goes there. That's probably not the most likely destination, but it very well could happen. The Padres are going all in. And the last thing I'll say right now on this is I'm interested to see still what happens with the Cubs because there's some very good bats there like Chris Bryant who may be moved before this deadline.
Yeah, you know, it sounds like Baez and Bryant could be moved for the Cubs. You know, that would be interesting. I think Baez came out today and said he would love
Barry,
to play with Lindor. Yeah.
Barry, could I ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you, like, to me, I feel that's disrespectful. They're going to get rid of Chris Bryant or talking about it. Like, he was there to help you guys get a World Series. And I feel like he's the bigger name there. How do you feel about that, what his value is to that Cubs team to actually be a trade piece?
I kind of agree with you that it's disrespectful in the fact that, you know, he's really an anchor on that team. He was a cornerstone in bringing a championship to that team. But I think looking at it, they've been talking about it for over a year now. It's not a surprise. Like, they've been talking about moving him in the off season, and then at the trade deadline before last off season. So, I think they want to kind of strip it down and start over. I think they got what they thought they can get out of that group of like Baez and like Schwarber and Bryan and company. I think they just want to strip it down and start all over. I can't fault them for that. I think he still has some value. I think you can probably still – you can get something good for him, kind of like when the Yankees traded away their two top relievers, one to the Cubs, when they traded Chapman. So, I mean, they could still get some good value out of him and kind of flip him. So, but, yeah, it's weird. I don't know. He's still pretty relatively young, right? He's like 28, 29, I think.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I think to me, before Mike goes, to me, that guy helped you break over a century worth of a curse. And literally the last out, he almost falls when he makes the throw to Rizzo and completes the throw and helps you guys do it. And probably was one of the more bigger bats in that roster. And he can't retire a Cub. Like, That's what bothers me, like the loyalty and knowing that every sport now is a business and they're doing stuff for business. But it's like, where's the love for these players that did everything that they could to be the mm-hmm. best that they can there? Like, I don't get it. Like, to me, I feel like that's really disrespectful of the Cubs. Especially he's a big bat. Like you getting rid of him? Like, yeah. Man.
Yeah. So I 100% agree with all that. The one thing that I would say, you know, Atlanta's got a guy that I'm hoping they re-sign. For that reason, I'd like to see him be a franchise guy and stay with the team his whole career. But I think that he has also, I think, made clear to that organization that he really doesn't want to re-sign there, that he'd like to go somewhere else next year and play, and doesn't want to be part of that rebuilding project either. And I think, unfortunately, that's where we are. Like you said, it's sad that it's that way, but these teams are like, if I can trade the guy before he becomes that free agent, I'm at least getting something out of him instead of just letting him walk, and then the only thing you get is an extra pick.
Right. I mean, what the game is now is basically sign these guys young, control them through their really early prime, and then once they hit that 27, 8, 9 range, if you really want to build around them, you think they can play into their 30s, you sign them. If not, flip them and let somebody else pay them big money. And that's what they're going to do. I mean, it started when they traded away, Jock Peterson to Atlanta and then Chapin. So you know that it's coming. They're tearing it down. They're 2 games below 500. It's coming. I agree with you, TP. They should run it back and keep these core guys that helped them get a championship. But I think they need to think younger, and they need to, you know, they're not – they're a – Chicago is a pretty big market team, but they're not a big spending team. So they'll be kind of smart and nimble on how they do it. They went all in to get that chip, and I think they kind of financially are starting to kind of feel the crunch of that. So I'm not surprised. I think it's been rumored, like I said, for over a year, and the time is now. But I got Sirius in. I'm going to bring him back in and get his opinion on these trades. Serious, I'd love to get your opinion on Gallo, Marte, the Cubs, teardown underway, et cetera. Go for it.
You know, honestly, man, I'm going to start, you know, with the bigger name, with Gallo coming to the Yankees, man. I think, honestly, you know, it's much ado about nothing, okay, because the Yankees' issue, in my opinion, is not another bat. It's not another mm-hmm. outfielder. It's their pitching. They cannot protect the lead because they can't, you know, pitch their way out of a wet paper bag. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, Gallo is a sexy pick and a sexy name, and, you know, Yankee fans are going to be excited and, you know, start talking about World Series and catching, you know, the Red Sox and playoffs. And no, I mean, all that is well and good, but until we figure out a rotation that will be able to sustain a lead. Listen, we had an effing no-hitter going into the seventh inning on Sunday and lost. Like, where did they do that? We had a 4-0 lead and lost. Like, where did they do that at? Like, how many times this year has the New York Yankees had a significant lead going into the light-up stages of a ball game and came up and lost the ball game? You know what I'm saying? So, again, I'm all for them. I'm all for them doing something. But until you address that pitching, it's all for naught. I would love for them to go out and find a way to go get a Max Scherzer. I mean, I live here in the Metro. I mean, he's on my TV regularly. But, you know, the likelihood of that happening is highly unlikely. One of the moves that I didn't hear anybody pick up was the Brew Crew acquiring, you know, Eduardo Escobar, you know.
Yeah.
From the D-backs, you know what I'm saying? That there is actually another decent move that, you know, kind of works hand-in-hand with what they did earlier with picking up Willie Adams in the first baseman, Robbie Tellez. You know what I'm saying? The Brewers are making some small, decent moves as well to kind of, you know, solidify their position and trying to make a run here. You know, obviously I'm going to talk about the Nationals because I live here. There are so many different names being floated around because of where they're at in the statistics. So we were talking about Chris Bryant and the Cubs and everything. You know, you gotta really assess your team and figure out, you know, are you going to be buyers? Are you going to be sellers? And, you know, the Washington Nationals at this point, at this stage of the game, are need to be sellers.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You have to identify, okay, Trey Turner, Juan Soto are the non-negotiables. You know what I'm saying? Those are your two linchpins. Those are your two, you know, guys that you want to kind of build your team around. Then everybody else needs to be gone. Like Steven Strasburg, I know he, you know, had season-ending surgery, you know, yesterday to repair yet another injury. This is a guy who ain't been right, and God knows how long, who was given $245 million contract, who hasn't made good on that. And see somebody who gets moved. Obviously, Max Scherzer, the sexy name. Tyler Corbin, another pitcher out in the way that needs to be moved. You know, Carter Kieblum, another guy. You know, the Washington Nationals are a team that needs to really try to sell these guys and try to recruit, you know, some draft picks, some farm system guys, or whatever the case may be. The Pittsburgh Pirates are another team that routinely sells, but they sell good players. They just traded their flipping Hall of Famer, but he's an all-star second baseman. They just traded him. They just traded him. For what, nobody? Are you kidding me right now? So there's been a lot of questionable moves made, but, again, as a guy who keeps an eye on the Yankees or whatever case may be, and as a guy who, you know, loves this time of year, especially when it starts talking about trades and maneuvering and, you know, teams going on the run and catching fire, you know, until the New York Yankees address the pitching, they're going to always be in trouble. I love the Brew move. Obviously, T.P. Thomas alluded to, you know, his guy going. But I did want to address the Chris Bryant thing, and I'm going to tie it into the Max Scherzer thing, and then I'll stop. You know, Chris Bryant, you know, it is arguably, you know, one of the greatest third basemen to ever play this game. You know what I'm saying? And for me, you know what I'm saying, it sucks that he's unable to continue his career in Chicago should he get moved. But I refuse to allow a player to hamstring a team from making the next best move. You know what I'm saying? Like, ultimately, again, I understand that, you know, the camaraderie, I understand the loyalty aspect of things, but if your loyalty happens to hamstring your ability to make moves or to capitalize on the position that you now find yourself in, then you've done your city, you've done your team a tremendous disservice. So I would love to see him retire there, but, again, I understand the business side of things, and if he's unable to, so be it. Same thing with Max Scherzer. Again, Max Scherzer, a guy who was traded to the Washington Nationals. You know, the team isn't going in the direction. He's on the last year of his deal. I could see Max Scherzer being moved before Chris Bryant, possibly, but for a whole different reason.
Yeah, how is he a hamstring to the Cubs? I said, how is he a hamstring to the Cubs? Like, how is that? I could find, like, at least four players in that roster that are hurting or crippling the Cubs production in comparison to Chris Bryant.
No, what I'm saying is, like, he is a guy who, you know, has sentimental value there. He's a guy who, like you alluded to, TP, you know, was kind of there, you know, when they weren't good and then they got good and they went on that run and won a championship, but you refuse or you are crippled to not, you know, move on and not make the next necessarily move to better your team, you know. So that's what I mean by hamstring. Not the simple fact that he's, you know, a bad player or whatever it can be, but he has a stranglehold, you know, at the heartstrings of the organization. And unfortunately, this is a business, and you got to, you know, capitalize on your availability to get assets and to get better and to possibly get younger. It sucks. Don't get it twisted. It sucks. The business side of sports sucks because people like us who are fans, people like us who grew up loving a player, grew up liking a player or whatever the case may be, hate to see him put on another team uniform or another team jersey. But at the end of the day, the business side of things, unfortunately, clouds are judgment, but the business side of things tends to rule the day because ultimately, the team has to think about life and, you know, position after this person is gone.
TP, you got something to say to that? You want to answer to that?
No, I mean, he's saying to get younger. He's young. Like, he's in his 20s. Like, he at least has a good 10 mm-hmm. years left of great baseball.
Yeah.
I don't even want to say, like, good. Like, this guy's grown up with, like, Bryce Harper. Like that's who he's, like, paired mm-hmm. with in his history. So, like, I'm baffled. I don't see where the production comes. Like, who do they build off of that's there now if they move a Chris Bryant from the Chicago Cubs? Like, there's going to be pitchers that they probably could put in a discussion, but they're old more or less in their bullpen and their rotation, like, comparison to a guy that's been probably one of their best batters. Like, for real. Like, I can't even on par somebody that's up there. Maybe Baez. Like,
For me, TP, though, in baseball years, 29 isn't – it's young. It's not young. Like, at that point, you're talking about a guy
– What I mean is,
like, you're talking about a guy at that point that's going to be looking for a 10-year contract. Or at least
right.
– well,
so
not even 10 years.
We're looking at the same situation that we just talked about with Nelson Cruz. He's at 41 right now. Albert Pujols is 41 right now. These guys are still relevantly hitting the ball. Jim Thome played to his 40s with the Twins. Like – The hands of medicine and the hands of time are actually being, I don't want to say defeated because they both will win at the end of the day, but it's like we're actually making strides to, like, lengthen out people's careers. And this guy being a stellar athlete, probably I want to say superstar, but I'll say a star of the Cubs, just to be fair. Like, I'm questioning Theo and company.
I think his health affects that a little bit because he has missed a good many games here and there. But to your point, Tom, he also is very effective defensively. I mean, you think of him as a third baseman, but that guy's more than capable center fielder. And if you can play center, you can play either one of the other two outfield spots. So, I mean, and that's the thing. You know, I think the hope with the Cubs is they know they can't afford all of these guys. This guy may have mm-hmm. the greatest return for them. If you get several big league pieces, or they are able to turn him into several productive roster spots in a rebuild that lasts for several years, maybe you consider it worth it. But I agree with you. I don't necessarily agree that he's a guy that should be traded. I don't think that. I mean, you got to get somebody to pay me a lot, and they're not going to pay as much as he's worth to me, especially when you don't have him. You know, when you consider that he might not even stay where he gets traded to. I mean, they don't hold any leverage past, you know, his contract here.
Right, but to me, Mike and TP, what I'm thinking is they can't afford to give him a contract like the Nationals gave Harper or the Padres gave Machado. Like,
or
they can't. They can't. Yeah, they can't sign him into his late 30s. And it's fool's gold to do that. Ask the Yankees when they gave A-Rod that contract. They were paying for it. Look at who they have on their books right now, Giancarlo Stanton. You think they want that long contract on their books at his age when he's getting older and can't play the outfield, only can play DH? It's not fun. When you're in your front half of your 20s, you can give them a 10-year contract. When you're in the back half of your 20s, that's a little bit rougher for me. But, I mean, I want to bring up what Sirius brought up as a great point. Yankees do desperately need pitching. Their pitching is atrocious. One of the best things about being in Jamaica, I didn't have to watch a lot of Yankee games, and I didn't have to watch their bullpen blow games. I mean, I'm looking at Craig Kimball in Chicago, and TP, you're going to hate me, but I'm looking at Jose Berrios. Those are guys – I don't think they're going to get Scherzer. He doesn't want to go to the Yankees. There's a no-trade clause. He said, I don't want to be a Yankee. He wants to go to the West Coast. Okay. That's a name that you can love throwing out there. The Yankees ain't getting him. But Berrios and Kimbrel are names that you can bring in, not as expensive as Scherzer, but they help your team right away because that's the arms that you need. They made a trade with a quiet trade, but a bullpen arm that they need. They desperately need right now. So that's where I'm looking. But I got a caller in queue. I definitely want to bring in the caller, and then I'll come right back to you, Mike, okay? I want to bring in Mr. Controversy himself, James. James, what's going on, bro?
Oh, not much, dude. I was just listening. So you can go ahead and throw me right back on mute.
No, I can't believe I'm going to even make a statement about the Yankees. It's how much I don't like to think about that team or see them getting any kind of franchise player. I think Tyma said earlier the same thing about Gallo going there. He don't like to see them get any other assets, and I agree. But you did mention Trevor Story earlier. Would they have enough to acquire him? I don't know. But if you were going to already gonna be jumping in that pool per se, I think Herman Marquez is a guy that can help your rotation in that same deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too. I think Trevor Story, you know, his arm velocity isn't there. He's had, I think, the most errors so far this season that he's had in a full season. I think he's had like 6 or 7. So, and I think there's like an issue with it. I don't think it's his shoulder. I think it's his elbow that people are kind of questioning. So it's a high risk, high reward to bring in Trevor Story to New York. But, I mean, it would solve some problems with the hitting that is a little inconsistent in New York. Even though they have names in the lineup, these names aren't doing anything. They're not hitting worth their baseball card. And it kind of puts Torres back to second base because I don't think he's the answer at shortstop, to be honest with you. I think he's a second baseman. But,
we'll see what problem. His bat's good enough that you could put him at first briefly, too, to get through the year.
Right. Somebody else was talking to TP, I think, was?
No. Continue. No, not me.
Okay. So, I mean, for me, I'm a big Yankee fan, and I'll be the first to admit it. They're the third best team in their division. And the record says it, but how they're playing this year, it's definitely bearing that out. They're not even close to what they should be. So, you know, Boston is a better team right now, and so are the Tampa Bay Rays. So, you know, the Yankees need all the help they can get. But I don't want to discount the Marte trade. I think it's big for Oakland, not only to bring in to one of your guys, I think it was TP's point, a small market team bringing in a big name like Marte, but then also being in an athletics kind of way, getting them to pay some of that salary to bring him in so they don't have to take on the financial burden. It's a huge move for them. I love Marte. I wanted him in New York. I think he's a great outfielder. I loved him in Pittsburgh, you know, when he was playing with the clutch, Andrew McCutchen. So I think he's a big upgrade for them, and he's going to have them. They're, I think, 6 games behind the Astros. I think he can be a piece that can help get them into that really that division push. So I don't know if anybody else has anything to add on the baseball.
More thing real quick before we get off baseball? I'm going to tell you guys another thing. You mentioned the third best team in that division, the Yankees. If for some reason a team like the Toronto Blue Jays were to put together a package for Scherzer, with all the sticks in that lineup, though, look out.
Absolutely.
Got some arms too, and that's a fantastic. I mean, that's an electric offense, and they got guys going. Springer's back now, and then of course you got Guerrero, and you got, you know, underrated guys like Gurriel and Biggio and Bo Bichette. And Bo Bichette's not underrated; he's fantastic. But I mean, when you look at all the bats in that lineup, if they get some, and say Oscar Hernandez, I didn't even mention him, but if they get a couple of arms, and especially a top-flight arm like a Scherzer or something, I think Scherzer's more likely to go out west. But if the Blue Jays could get some pitching, they could definitely be a fly in the ointment, if you will, in the American League East.
I totally agree with you. I think that's a great point, and I didn't bring up the Blue Jays because of the fact the Yankees and the Blue Jays kind of had the same blueprint. Gamble on pitching in the offseason and see if it works out. Mats and company haven't really worked out for Toronto, but they can hit with anybody. If they do get an arm, they'll push the Yankees, and they have to play the Yankees quite a bit down the stretch. It's going to be tough for any of those teams to leapfrog Boston and Tampa Bay, but they're going to be in each other's way for that wild card spot. So that's a great point. Pete, I don't know if you had a point, too, if you wanted to chime in on that. But
He hit the nail on the head. I was totally, like, not thinking about the Blue Jays and their production that they've been able to do offensively. If they could get Scherzer up there, that would make them another juggernaut out there in the AL East. And it's really Boston and Toronto that's doing their thing out East. And the Yankees are trying to get their engine started, but they could get it happening at any given moment. So it's like, I'm not really concerned about the Yankees because that's something that you want to see them be slowed down, you know. But the way that Toronto and Boston have been playing ball, I really feel like they could be a stronghold, and Tampa makes an interesting case also. So the Yankees have their hands full.
Yeah, absolutely. It's gonna be interesting. So we'll definitely be talking about it tomorrow on the Baseball Buffet tomorrow at 9 o'clock with Dave and Nate talking some baseball definitely as we get to the trade deadline. So I want to switch gears. TP, where do you want to go? You want to go with the little Olympics? Or you want to talk a little NFL?
We could go cheese if you want to, because that's where the elephant in the room is right now. And the crazy part about that is I knew it, and I said it here in Sports City. I didn't feel like Aaron was going to leave. Like, it was a good storm of a story, and how angry he may have been, and just hearing his presser today in the press conference is like, mm-hmm. Man, enough is enough. Just get out there and go to work, man. And not to sound like shut up and dribble, but you made this much of a smoke situation since the NFL draft until now, and you get your question answered or your prayers answered by going to get Randall Cobb. Like, Randall Cobb is the only person that you want to be a part of the team. And the Packers did it so swiftly, and this is kind of added on. And, I'm bringing the charcoal and the lighter fluid because I'm about to light the grill on fire. You mean to tell me that the Texans approved of watching Randall Cobb leave because Aaron Rodgers wants him, and you give them a six-round pick? That's all it is? That's all it was worth, was a six-round pick? And the crazy part is you're sitting up there as the Houston Texans, and you're worried about keeping Deshaun Watson and all of that legal stuff that he's going through in there. Like, Houston, you're a joke. You are a joke, Houston. I could care less. You sat up there and watched J.J. Watt leave. Y'all forced D-Hop out of there. You're hanging on to Deshaun and knowing he's the gruntle. And y'all get rid of a receiver just to help out another receiver in the NFL instead of helping yourself. Which direction are you going? So it's like it's a storm of emotions on both sides of the fence. One, I feel, listen, don't let me see any other Houston people. Like, I couldn't. Like I'll tell them all about the Texans, man, and Black Zach, all of them, I'll tell them about the Texans later. But, you know, what Green Bay is able to do, I'm like, it's interesting because Randall Cobb has always been a good piece when he's been around Aaron Rodgers. But if that's all you were looking for was just an underneath receiver or somebody that could play the slot that has good camaraderie with you, and you made this much of a stink to trade you to either Denver, Las Vegas, or San Francisco, that's boring now, Aaron. Like this, now that you have Randall Cobb, you need to be in the Super Bowl, period. You've been to four straight NFC Championship games. You're losing, and you got excuse after excuse, whether, San Francisco was pounding us on the run or Brady and them figured you out in the first half. I don't want to hear it. There's nothing else you can say. You're a three-time MVP. You're one of the more better quarterbacks we ever seen in the NFL. Enough is enough, and I'm mad, and I'm saying this, he's in my division. I don't want to see him win, but it's like, you have to get to the Super Bowl. I don't want to hear no excuses. They shut you down again, let alone I had a topic today. We was in the shop today. I got a topic floating around. I said, do we see the NFC Championship with the same contestants with the same outcome? You know what I'm saying? Because it still looks like Brady and company could get right back there, and the Packers, what defense could stop them before getting there? You know what I'm saying? Especially if they win the North and they have a considerable record, I feel like they can make that happen. You know, so I get fucked up, and, you know, more than the situation that Brady Grant, Anthony Brown, Mike Evans, Godwin, that's cool is back there. So it's like, if that defense does what it did last year, Tampa Bay's back in the thick of things, Green Bay's in the thick of things too. It's like, which team in the NFC West, maybe? Like, I don't know. Like, everybody's screaming, oh, Stafford going to the Rams. I don't think that they are, but there's people that say that they think that they're a Super Bowl contending team. So there's a lot of stuff, hysteria watching the NFL. But one, like, I'm confused with the direction the Texans are going, and Aaron Rodgers, Randall Cobb can't be the only thing that you were crying about.
No, but honestly, TP, thank you for heating it up, because you just got it going and got it popping in here. But it was about respect. Everybody was saying it but didn't want to say it. Aaron Rodgers watched Tom Brady get the same type of deal that he just got in Green Bay in his last year in New England, right? Left New England, went to Tampa Bay, got players that he wanted to get into the building there and won a Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers is like, I'm the MVP. You got rid of somebody that I wanted to keep in Randall Cobb, didn't consult me on it, haven't consulted me in draft. He was very candid today. He said, listen, I play with these guys. I work out with these guys. I gave them my knowledge. I gave them my knowledge to say, hey, you need to go after this guy. You ignored him. It was about respect. They didn't respect Aaron Rodgers. 17th year in this league. He's been here long enough. And it's like now basically what Aaron Rodgers just said to the Packers and to the GM, I run the team now. I'm running the show.
Wait, hold on.
You're going to do
–
You don't
think they respect him? You don't think they respect him? Look. This is why I look at it like that.
No.
I think they respect him. He just never spoke up. I think this is the first time that he spoke up. Listen, Barry, what is he going to do now speaking up at the age of 38? He's 38. Well, this December, he'll be 38. Like, he never spoke up. He just was accepting what management was giving him. Like, he's seen other players
control
their destinies. Like he, the example has been set in front of him. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I think now that he's seeing other players control their situation, it's like, well, hell yeah, I'm a three-time MVP. My name is big as hell in the sport. Like, I'm going to say something else. Like, the whole world was waiting to see what was going to happen because Aaron Rodgers' name is bigger than ever. There's no way that he's big to the rest of the league and not big to the Packers. There's no way. There's no way.
But he said for a couple of years he's been trying to give their input, and they haven't listened to him. It's not just this offseason. It started in February. Go ahead, Sirius.
I don't think there's a chance in hell, you know what I'm saying, that Aaron Rodgers is just now talking or speaking up about what he may want, what he may feel, this, that, and the third. Let's keep in mind, this is not the time Aaron Rodgers has been pissed off about a direction that the team has been going in. Let's keep in mind, he was upset and got Mike McCarthy fired because of the direction that the team was going in. So Aaron Rodgers is
winning in his favor because he spoke up and got Mark McCarthy fired.
Right. My point exactly.
Right.
But,
there was something he's with him. But he just said that they're not respecting him.
My point exactly, but you just sat here and tried to say that, you know what I'm saying, Aaron Rodgers is just now speaking up. Bro, he's been talking ever since he got into the league. You know what I'm saying? Like,
speaking up as in being traded. Like, trade me. I don't want a player. You didn't hear Rodgers ever say that.
He never said it. He never said it.
He never said that.
In public.
He's been pissed off.
Like, Aaron Rodgers
which
say
it again, CP, you broke up a little bit.
I said, you see Aaron Rodgers in front of a camera every game, so it's like, it's not like you don't hear him speaking up. You know when I know, like, the last straw was drawn when the Tampa Bay in that NFC Championship game, and he shook Tom Brady's hand. He didn't even say nothing. You just seen him say, yep, and he's just looking him in his face, and you could see the anger. And then I think, like, a week or two later, he's getting interviewed by Rich Eisen. He could barely talk.
Yep.
He could barely talk,
right.
And it's like he's frustrated to this point that he's not speaking up, and he finally waited till the draft to be like, that's it? Like this is – you've never seen him do that. Like, maybe the move of the coach, maybe another player that he don't want there or something. I don't know if he spoke up about other players. But this is the first time with the organization being addressed. This is a similar situation that we've seen Brett Favre in the way that – they wanted Brett Favre to retire a Packer, and he didn't want to retire. They were trying to give him $250 million, 25 every year for 10 years to be retired, and they ended up having to get rid of him. So it's like the way that the Green Bay Packers are treating these quarterbacks when they get older is very interesting. But to the point where Brett has to speak up this way to stay still, and Aaron Rodgers went at the age of 37 going into 38 December 2nd.
Not just quarterbacks, the way they're doing Devontae Adams right now, you know what I'm saying? He's upset, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean,
Devontae's mad because of Aaron Rodgers.
Let's keep in mind with that situation, though. Like, Aaron Rodgers literally is on a one-year deal at this point, you know what I'm saying? Devontae Adams is going to play the last year of his deal, and I honestly believe that Devontae Adams is not going to sign until Aaron Rodgers figure out where he wants to go. So essentially, they got those two guys for one more year. This year upcoming, and then I think both of them are probably gone.
The one thing I can say if they do go young at the quarterback position, though, that does allow them to be able to spend that franchise money at wide receiver and make him the highest paid wide receiver in football. And other teams may be able to do that. The one thing that I will say is, I thought that Aaron Rodgers really did a good job of at least presenting his side today. I thought it was well thought out.
Yeah.
And there were some things that he said. I think there were a couple situations.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the Packers at different times could have gotten Beckham, maybe could have gotten Hopkins with the right move. I think there are different times that he's seen other teams make trades for receivers and felt like he's asked for and that franchise hasn't done nearly what or listening to his input even on guys he's worked out with in the off season. And so I do like the way he presented it today. As far as the comment about the draft, I actually believe him when he said that it was not his intention, it was not supposed to come out around the draft time, and that he actually wanted to get out and have a conversation with the organization. I don't believe that was done intentionally on his part. That being said,
I have a hard time believing that, bro. I have a hard time believing that. And let me explain to you why. You know what I'm saying? This was, in my opinion, strategic by whomever Aaron Rodgers used or whomever Aaron Rodgers spoke to leak that, because it was at that moment that was all that was talked about. It wasn't about Trevor Lawrence. It wasn't about the first round draft picks and all that. Like, everybody on ESPN, NFL Network, this network, Clubhouse, it was Aaron Rodgers is leaving Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers is leaving Green Bay.
You're right.
Like, the way we as media people ate that shit up was insane. And I think that was strategic to kind of move the needle and be like, yo, listen, now everybody's talking about it. Now everybody's talking about it. Here's the thing. If Aaron Rodgers wanted to do this stuff quietly and not let it get out or whatever the case may be, he could have picked up a phone and called somebody. He ain't speak to nobody since he left the field in Green Bay last January. This is the first time he actually spoken to a Green Bay Packers organization in almost 6 months. If you don't want that to get out, if you wanted to tell your side, you should have did that shit behind closed doors. You did nothing. You know what I'm saying?
He did talk to him. He did talk to him, though. He did talk to him. And I think, to your point, Sirius, it was leaked to kind of start to get them to see that he's not playing. But he never came out and said it himself. It was through the rumors, through agents or whoever. He never came out and said, I don't want to be here. He never said a word. Through Jeopardy, through the golf tournament with Tom Brady, he didn't say a word. It was everybody speculating. So from that perspective, I kind of agree with Mike. Like, he didn't come out and say anything, but he gave a detailed timeline. And to your guys' point, this is what he was saying. Like, listen, Green Bay is not a place people want to come. The only reason people want to come to Green Bay is to play with me. So let me be involved in the conversations, in the recruiting, and getting people to come here. And the fact that he said, listen, the way that the veterans were disrespected and not brought back here was a big problem for him. And we never knew that. Listen, Charles Woodson, Julius Peppers, who could still play in this league, should be Packers. Or Woodson should have been a Packer for a while. That didn't happen. So he was like, listen, I don't want you to repeat this mistake that you made before. Bring back guys that I like and I want to play with, Randall Cobb. And you didn't do it. And that was the genesis of everything that's going on. And plus the fact that if you want people to come here, I'm going to be the reason they want to come here. Let me be involved. They didn't want to do it. So it's like, okay, you don't want me to be involved in free agents. I'm the MVP. It doesn't look like you want me to be here. So let's move on. That's all it was. It was like, if you don't want me to be a part of the solution, then I must be a part of the problem. Then let me go. Trade me and let's be done with it. I totally back Aaron Rodgers' stance on that. It makes total sense. Let me go to a situation where I can be helpful if you don't want me to be helpful here. It's not Randall Cobb, the caliber of player he was. It's about bringing players in here that he likes, that he's comfortable with, that he can win with. And they didn't want to do it. And then you didn't want to consult him. So now it's like, at this point, he has a year of saying, listen, you're going to do it my way. You're going to bring in the people I want in here. And this, you know what? If it works, it works. If not, then I'll go somewhere else. But you know what? I'm in charge. I run things now.
But Randall Cobb?
It's not the caliber of player. It's the fact that, you know what? I was comfortable with him. I had a rapport with him. He was a good player when he was with Green Bay, was he not? He wasn't an all-pro player, but he was a good, productive player in that offense. I want him. he said, I want him. They went as soon as after today, they got him. That's what all he wanted. That's just give me who I want. Tom Brady got who he wants. Why can't I get what I want?
And some people several would argue Tom Brady's got several more rings that give him that.
That
oh,
right. Yeah,
I think Aaron Rodgers.
That's a huge number, boys. Several.
Yeah, but he's got the MVPs, and he's the organization. He's the franchise. You know what I mean?
You can't fill the bill.
Definitely
you
is.
Can't fill the bill. That's why they went and got Jordan Love. He got even more pissed off.
Yeah, but I mean, do you think Mahomes they would treat Mahomes like that in Kansas City? Do you guys think that Mahomes would get treated like that?
No, because Mahomes
like,
is young, but they did the same thing to Brady. They went and got Jimmy Garoppolo, and Brady fought like hell and put some more championships on the board.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I ain't lying.
Garoppolo got two championship rings because of Brady. You know he's championship relevant because Brady put two more up there, and that was the driving force. But I think Belichick wanted him more. I think Kraft wanted to hang on to Brady more. I think Kraft wanted Brady. And Belichick wanted Jimmy. And Brady like, yo, you know what? Stay right here. I'm going to help you be relevant and put two on his face.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
And we see who
so that's the same thing Aaron Rodgers got to do. Aaron Rodgers got to do the same thing with Jordan Love like this season. It has to happen now. Like with everything that you're asking for, you're telling me that this is a one-year deal and then you're splitting and Devontae may be up to the same thing. Y'all putting out posts that y'all doing their last dance like y'all the Chicago Bulls. Like everything is in front of Aaron Rodgers right now. Aaron Rodgers got to go complete haywire. And light the NFC North and the rest of the NFC on fire and the four teams that they play in the AFC, or five or six if they do add another one or two in the schedule.
TP, I don't even think that's going to keep him in Green Bay, to be honest with you. Like, even if he goes out there and throws up, you know, 60 touchdowns and, you know, wins the MVP and they win the Super Bowl, I still think he's gone because he honestly does not want to be there. At the end of the day, he does not want to play in Green Bay. He figured out a way to, you know, not pay back $30 million, reworked his deal, did what they need to do to make it legal and buy the books. But I am willing to bet my right toe that this brother is gone by this time next year.
He's a California boy. He wants to go back home to finish his career.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Go to Cali.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to come back. I think we have a year to speculate, but I think the right move and because Green Bay tried to come to him and say, all right, is it money? You want more money? No, I don't want money. I want respect. It's like he's like Fredo in Godfather 2. Like, you know, I can do things. I can handle things. I'm smart. I want respect. That's what he wanted. He wanted respect. They're like, he worked this deal so they can get the draft, not the draft, the cap space to bring guys in, and now they're starting to bring the guys in now. There's no free agent like there was last year with Tampa Bay. Like they can go out and get Gronk or somebody or AB, but you know what? Now you got some flexibility. Start making some moves, and I think that's what he wanted. Who knows if he'll come back? I don't know about Devontae Adams. That's an interesting part too, because you know where his salary is right now and where the elite receiver salary is right now is a big gap. We're talking almost $14 million gap. Hopkins signed that extension for what, $26 million a year? Adams is making 12.
Yeah, something like that.
And Adams is arguably the best receiver in the game. Now, I mean, I don't think you can make an argument that he's the best receiver in the game. I mean, you can make that argument. So it's like, you pay me $26 million.
And I think that's my point. If you look at Hopkins has a young quarterback, they also traded away the running back that they paid a lot of money to. So, you know, that money still has to be distributed because of that cap. So if they go young next year at quarterback, Adams, like I said, may find a gig somewhere else. But that franchise or a team that's still on a very young quarterback is the team that's most likely to be able to sign a receiver like that to a deal of that caliber.
I don't know. I don't know if Adams would want to sign up for that. I think, you know, Kyler Murray is one thing. Jordan Love, who we've never seen in an NFL game, is another thing. I don't know if he would want to sign up for that. It might hurt his value, too.
I think, honestly, you know what I'm saying, he'll take less to play with the winner than to get the max deal and play with the unknown.
But there are also several teams that are young at quarterback, so we can branch out of Green Bay and look at other teams around the league that are still going to be paying because they're pretty young at the quarterback position, and some of those young quarterbacks still have a lot of talent. So, I mean, I'm just saying that you're probably going to have to go, unless he takes a little less to pair up with a guy, for him to get the kind of money he wants, he's probably going to have to pair up with a younger quarterback of some kind, not a guy that's played long enough to get that second big franchise type deal, in order to fit it and make it make sense for the rest of the salary, for the rest of the salary cap.
I don't know. I mean, you look at like a team like the Jets with cap space and a young quarterback. Do I see Adams wanting to go there? I don't know. I really don't know.
It depends upon what he does this off this season. Like if the BYU kid goes out there and balls out and does the same sizzle, and you know the Jets, you know, make a turn. I think the Jets would be better this year, you know, under new head coach Robert Saleh, and you know what I'm saying. But if they go out there and show promise, then you know, who's to say that he doesn't link up with him? To my guy's point, I just don't think that, you know, he's going to take less money to stay there in Green Bay with Jordan Love, especially after, you know, he's been there. Like, he you know, Aaron Rodgers is his boy. You know what I'm saying? They've had the conversations. He's seen, you know, what's going on. He sees how they do their stars. Like, name me one more star that's still in Green Bay, that should be in Green Bay. Like, Green Bay should have a litany of stars. Like, that Ring of Honor that they do should be filled with all kinds of numbers, but they don't treat their stars right.
And to your point, it could be a lot of guys. You know, we don't know what the Eagles guy is going to have. It could be with Lance out in San Francisco if he ends up taking that job. It could be with Tua if he takes a step forward in Miami. I mean, he could go pair up with Chase in Cincinnati. I mean, there are a lot of teams that are on quarterbacks that are just in their first couple of years. Trevor Lawrence, that have very high ceilings. For Adams to get the kind of money he wants, he's going to have to pair up with one of those.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I hope he doesn't leave. I hope they figure out a way in Green Bay to keep him. The money is going to be a problem. I don't know if he wants to match or jump Hopkins' contract, which is crazy to me. But you know, he should get every penny he's owed because he's worth it. He is that good. But you know. I think the loyalty with Adams and Rodgers was really strong, and I think that was a factor in getting this kind of deal that Aaron Rodgers kind of – that pathway deal that he got to come back. And you know, it's good for both sides. It's good for Rodgers. It's good for, you know, the Packers that have – they can have a contingency and be able to, you know, move him and get something back. But then Rodgers is like, hey, if I'm not happy here after next year, I'm out. So it's really, you know, who blinked first? It was the Packers. The Packers caved and they gave Rodgers what he wanted, and they gave him, you know, and they're going to keep giving him what he wants this season. And I think that was the biggest part of Rodgers not going to OTAs and going to minicamp, all that stuff. He wanted what he wanted. But I mean, yeah, I don't know if anybody else has anything to add on Aaron Rodgers. There's definitely other NFL training camp news I wanted to kind of chat about, especially with the Miami Dolphins cornerback Howard, basically coming out on I think it was Instagram and basically saying I want to be traded. I want to be traded. I don't want to be in Miami. You know, we already talked about Deshaun Watson coming to camp. They didn't think he would actually show up to camp. He's in camp, but now they got a dilemma in Houston, which is it's a complete cluster F in Houston. Now they're actively looking to trade him. The price is high. I think, what is it, 3 first-round picks they're looking for. But, you know, Khalid, the coach, is, you know, basically coming out and saying Watson is being very professional in camp right now. You know, he's basically doing all the right things. But, you know, it's a big – basically a big target, a basic sign in the crowd saying, hey, I want to be traded. So he hasn't softened on that stance. So, I mean, what do you guys think about players wanting – coming to camp – but still wanting, looking to get traded? Aaron Rodgers is off that list, but we still have Howard and we still have Watson for the Dolphins and the Texans respectively wanting to be traded. TP, I'll get your opinion on that real quick.
The Howard situation is very interesting because he's one of the top corners in the game, and I think he mm-hmm. holds a lot of weight right now, and teams that might be after him are definitely going to come and get him because it's not hard. It's not easy to find a cornerback of his caliber who can deflect passes and pick the ball off also. And being a part of that Miami Dolphin team where they're actually on the rebuild and looking like they're in the right direction, he wants out. So I'm wondering if they try to make the situation better for him or they get rid of the cancer that may end up spreading throughout the team. So that's interesting in itself. I think, like, some teams that are on the radar coming after them, I mean, I've been talking to a lot of these guys, even though I don't like the team, but the Cowboys would probably be a team that would be intrigued to try to bring them down there. And I know a lot of players ideally like to try to get some Cowboy money, but that was one of the teams that, you know, I've been talking too strongly about. But the Houston situation, they let this go on far too long. And with Deshaun Watson, I know why he came back. Of course, I'm not going to watch you guys take money from me while I'm in a legal matter, which I feel like stealing from the organization anyway. So I'm not going to give money here, then give money there, then give money to all these ladies that are lined up. Like, there's a lot in front of Deshaun. So it's like, let me go here. If I'm really that mad and out of here, I'm going to play like James Harden did in Houston. No, funny, I'm saying Houston. Play bad and get them to get me out of here before the rest of the season, you know, succumbs and things of that nature. Because now, what is it? It's him and, like, Tyrod Taylor. They thought Tyrod would be the starter.
Yeah.
This still continued. And now Tyrod is back to, you know, holding a clipboard and throwing up gang signs on the sideline and until Deshaun is out of the way. But they already got they got rid of Randall Cobb now. So now Randall Cobb is gone. D-Hop left. Like, what does he have in the offense? You got J.J. Watt, Clowney, all of these guys left. There's nothing there in Houston. Like, nothing. Everything left. Like, and that's sad that the Texans watched that much of their organization go elsewhere. Like, and I'm up here talking junk, and I watched, like, OKC go through this situation. But it's like watching Houston do this live on TV, letting them know every day is Deshaun Watson. And what's happening now? With Deshaun Watson, what's happening? And y'all still got other news outside of y'all. Well, y'all don't dare not let go of no peace right now. How are you rebuilding? You guys may be at the bottom of the league. Forget just your division or the AFC, like the league. You may be bottom feeders for real, and Deshaun Watson may end up helping that situation.
Well, and to your point, Tom, not even Will Fuller, but all these guys that have been out, you signed Watson to this contract. Of course he's going to show up. You have this big asking price, but at the same time, who's going to pay it? Because you don't know what's going to happen with all these different things that are facing this guy. So if you're a franchise, until you know the outcome of all this investigation, everything else going against him, even if I do believe Deshaun Watson is a franchise talent, a guy that can get us to a ring, I'm leery of giving up all those picks and everything that they need right now. Houston needs to trade him a lot more than I do. I can't run the risk of giving up all them things and then having him bringing him in and then just a few weeks in or whatever, like, he's gone because of other disciplinary matters. It makes it tough for people to be willing to pay that price. There's definitely some high risk to that reward. And then you're right, that this could really leave them in a bad position for a long time. I mean, the only thing that I can think of off the top of my head on offense right now is David Johnson. He's been broke down for a while as far as, like, he hasn't been able to stay healthy. As far as Xavier Howard goes, definitely a premier corner. You know, one of the things that I did read that I like to read today was that, now he did come out and say this, but he has shown up at practice, been on time, run through, like, he's being definitely being a professional about it and doing all the things that that he's supposed to do, like while he's under contract and being with this franchise. So it's nice to see that professionalism there.
Right. Sirius, what do you got? You know, honestly, man, I'm going to start with the Xavier Howard thing. You know, it doesn't come as a shock that, you know, yet another Pro Bowl caliber person wants to leave Miami. Keep in mind, there was only a season and a half ago when we were able to pry Mika Fitzpatrick away from them. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
Mika, call your man, yo. Come on to Pittsburgh, my guy. Come on to Pittsburgh, my guy.
Oh, God. Stop.
I tell you what. Let us mess around and get Xavier Howard. Y'all going to hear me from Connecticut. Like, y'all going to hear your boy do some, oh, God, dog. Anyways, with
that being said.
No, you won't. Say well. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you will. With that being said, you know, I salute him for being a professional. He kind of made a little joke, a little jokey joke. I'm only here so I don't get fined, and, you know, kind of play on beast mode thing or whatever the case may be. But again, at the end of the day, you're a professional. You know, you did what you need to do. And so let's see what takes place. As for the Deshaun Watson thing, I really do not want to waste any more airtime talking about the situation. The Houston Texans have you know, morphed into literally the laughingstock of the NFL. Regardless of how you feel about it, if you got an issue with it, y'all know where to find me. But I don't understand how time and time again you step up to bat and you step up to the plate to make an intelligent decision, and yet you fail. You literally fail. Again, this situation should have been ended and should have been handled this off season. I understand that, you know what I'm saying, you want to try to keep your franchise quarterback there, but ultimately there was no shot that this wasn't going to come with some type of issue. You know what I'm saying? Your asking price is way too high. He has so much hanging over his head. If I'm an organization, let's say I want to give you the assets you want, but then it comes time to, you know what I'm saying, he does have this legal situation hanging over his head. So if I give you what you're asking for, am I going to get return investment on, you know, on services rendered? And unfortunately, we don't know. Hell, Deshaun Watson himself doesn't know. He has yet to talk to the NFL about this nonsense yet. And so, you know, and preseason kicks off in 2 weeks. You know what I'm saying?
And here's
talk to the NFL about. Go ahead.
Here's the thing. You can get creative with contracts when you sign a player that says the performance bonuses and that kind of stuff, right? But you can't do anything in a trade that says based on how much production we get out of the guy, that's how many picks you're going to get. Like, it ain't like you could do anything like that. So you don't even have a way to protect yourself in a deal like that.
Facts.
And it's an
facts.
Exorbitant price to try to meet.
Yeah, what's kind of boggling me, and I think James is ready to come in because we're getting some NFL talk, so I'm going to bring him in a second. But with Howard, it's like they made him the highest paid cornerback when he signed his contract. He signed that contract. Now he's only making $12 million this year, and now he, because of, you know, I guess cornerback inflation, like the price of cornerbacks have gone up. He's the second highest paid cornerback on his team, and he's still one of the best corners in the league. So, you know, Byron Jones makes more
and everything.
Yeah,
right,
I mean,
right,
Byron
right,
Jones
right.
makes more than him. You know what I'm saying? And, like, you know, because the price of cornerbacks, the going rate when he signed that contract was about $15 million. Now it's up to, you know, $18, $20 million a year. So that's on him. He signed the contract, and now he feels disrespected. Dude, you signed the contract. Nobody made you sign. You signed the contract at that point and made yourself the highest paid cornerback in the league. If anything, the Dolphins should be applauded for that because they signed you as the highest paid contract. And then, you know what? Now it's a bargain a couple of years later because they got the best cornerback in the league or one of the best cornerbacks in the league at a lower rate. So now they could sign other players and bring in more players to make this team a winning team, which they're really close to being. So
do you
think
it's about
Dolphins...
money or do you think it's about wins and losses, though?
It's about money. He says he doesn't feel valued. He said it's value. It's money. And value ain't got nothing to do with wins and losses, right, Sirius? Like, he wants his money. He wants to be paid as the highest paid cornerback. So he wants that contract ripped up. He got new agents over the period of the off season to negotiate a new deal to get more money. He wants money. Listen, dude, you signed the contract. I get it. Like, you know, quarterbacks can have their contract ripped up and redone, and like Mike said, it can be, you know, you can have the contract, you know, kind of played with so that you can basically get more money and have it, you know, with a signing bonus or incentives or what have you. But, dude, Dolphins should be applauded. Like I'm saying, they made a great business decision in the long run because that five-year deal, they could have made it for a couple years. They made it for 5 years, have it on a graduated scale, and they're saving money by locking up their best player, arguably their best player on the field. I mean, I don't know. Like, listen, I get it, get your money, but dude, you signed the contract. I don't know what to tell you. You know, if it's disrespectful being paid at the time as the highest paid cornerback, I don't know. I really don't know. But seriously, I mean, you know, I'm gonna bring in James. I think James is ready to come in. James, are you done listening? Are you ready to get some controversy going?
I'm ready to participate now for at least the next 15 minutes while I'm on break.
So you're ready to get that participation award just like in Little League.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't a good baseball player. That's why I hate the sport. So, let's start with Deshaun Watson real quick. He's doing everything correct. He's showing up. He's not making a scene. He's doing everything he can to get himself traded. Because if he starts, you know, not showing up or being a big distraction, nobody's gonna want him. Not one soul is going to want a diva, you know, quarterback. Even if you deal with a diva wide receiver, you can't deal with a diva quarterback. Unless you're the Packers, apparently. But,
clown.
What a clown. Whoa.
but no, like, Deshaun Watson's doing the right things, and eventually this is going to, because right now the Texans are in a no-win situation. Right now, like, they can't really trade him until everything legally gets taken care of. Otherwise, they're going to be trading him at a major discount. So they're going to sit and wait and see what happens with his legal situation and figure out what exactly Goodell's going to do to him during the season. As far as the Miami corner, these are the moments where if he decides to do anything other than come in and play for his contract, the Dolphins should play hardball and just sit there on his contract until he comes in and plays. They've got him for an additional 3 years. He's not going to quit football because he was the highest paid cornerback 2 years ago. Yeah, he signed the contract at the wrong time. This is why, you know, all these wide receivers during this last offseason, during, like, the decrease in salary cap, all did one-year deals because they want to go out and make the big payday with the new TV deal, and that's why he is not getting paid the highest amount right now. And it is what it is, right? Like, you just got to handle it. And it's the same thing in Dolphins who did for basically every year after he left Detroit. He went out, he got the biggest one-year contract that he could get and just kept on going and going and going. Low risk to the team, high reward a high risk, high reward for himself. So that's what he's got to do in his next contract. But he isn't. He's not going to be there anymore, and that's why he's upset. Because he's not going to get another big contract. And if he, but if he sits out, he's not going to get any money either. So he's stuck. He's stuck. He knows he's stuck. He's just trying to make enough noise to try to get a little extra money. The Dolphins would be cool to get it, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, anybody got a response to that? No? Okay. I mean, controversy always leaves us hanging, right? Now, listen, I agree with you with Watson. I didn't want to talk too much about it. I thought Howard's situation was a little bit more interesting, but you're right. The best thing that for Watson to do was to show up, because it's forcing Houston's hand. Because now you got this big distraction that's not a distraction, because he's doing everything right. He's showing up. He's at practice, but and now you're in practice. Like, what do you do? Number ones, go out on the field and practice. Well, who's your number one quarterback? I guess it's Watson. Yeah, you know what I mean? Wanna like, he's your
you
number.
Flip
he's
every
your number. Yeah, exactly. Like, he's your number one quarterback, but is he your number one quarterback? So it's like, all right, now I got to get rid of this guy. This is awkward. It's like, you know, going out on a date with, you know, and then finding out it was really not really a date. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like you got other people there. Like, it's like the elephant in the room. Well, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, you know.
I think that's poor.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, I think that's the biggest difference in these two situations. Like, in the Texans deal, nobody really has leverage except for maybe the acquiring team, and the player is just trying to do what little he can to affect it, but he doesn't have much leverage and everything's staring down. In the Dolphins deal, the club has all the leverage. If somebody wows them with a deal, then they can make it. Otherwise, they can expect him to play out his contract. And you know, good on the Dolphins for being in a position, because to me, you got to blow me away. It's hard to find an elite corner. And this is a guy that we, you know, like you said, made the best effort with to sign him to a full make them one of the highest paid corners in the league a couple years ago, and we signed him. Not our fault that the landscape has changed a little bit. We expect you to honor the contracts, and they have the leverage there.
Yeah, I feel bad. I really feel bad for Tyrod Taylor, because he goes to Cleveland as the starter, and then eventually Baker Mayfield takes his job, and because he was the future, goes to San Diego, LA, does everything right there, gets his lung punctured or something, right? Like,
yeah,
you got to go
before all of that, Barry. Buffalo, Josh Allen.
Buffalo! I forgot about Buffalo. So Buffalo, he's got Josh Allen,
and then Herbert, and then he got stabbed in the lung by a damn trainer. You lucky? I'm not him, because I would have quit football right there as soon as he stabbed me in the lung. I'm not playing football anymore.
Like,
but the Chargers, I'm about to own half of this team. All of y'all about to work for me, including the coach. You say, every last one of y'all.
We talking like Eddie Murphy
thirties now too. This guy's in his mid-30s now. I mean, we're not talking about like a 23, 25 year old kid anymore either. Like, he's got a few years on.
But he's genuinely a good guy. Like, I watched the Hard Knocks with him. I can't wait for Hard Knocks this year, even though I hate the Cowboys. I just love that show. But, I mean, you saw him, like, especially when, you know, they started to pull people off the field and he had a heart-to-heart with the team. He's generally a good guy. So for that to happen and then, you know, Herbert to come in and then basically how could you take the rookie of the year out? Like, he was on fire. That first game against, Kansas City, he threw like six freaking touchdowns. Like, there was no way Tyrod Taylor was going to get his job back. And then he goes into Houston with a new coach who got – I mean, I know he's stressed himself like, damn, I should have went to high school football. Like, I ain't worth this shit. Like, he comes in,
he's offered that you're going to be the starter. We're getting rid of Deshaun Watson. And now Deshaun Watson's here. Like, what in the natural hell? Like, you know, like, I thought you said I was supposed to be the starter. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, they're not the Chicago Bears who are still going to start Andy Dalton in spite of, you know, Justin Fields being there.
Exactly, but now when you finally get a chance to start, you paid your dues, you came in, you were the bridge quarterback for a lot of other guys. Now you finally get your chance to start because he's going to. We don't know when it's going to happen yet, but he's going to start at quarterback probably for that team this year. But when you do, the team that you get to take the snaps for is the team that probably has less going for it than any other team in the NFL. And so you're honestly going to be lining up every Sunday hoping your team doesn't get its teeth kicked in.
Oh, my God. I mean, poor Tyrod Taylor. And like I said, he's a really good guy. But, I mean, just, you know, it's just it's insane. It's insane. You know, like, you know, who are the weapons they have now? I think, David Johnson, Brandon Cooks, Anthony Miller, right? Didn't they just trade for Miller? Miller?
Yeah.
They just trade for Anthony Miller.
Kiki Kute, or whatever his name is.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I mean, he was actually pretty solid.
They got Gladys Knight McCibbs on that damn team.
What'd you say, TP?
They got Gladys Knight and the Pips on that team.
I'm, you ain't down to summer. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to talk about Ike Turner
coming off the bench.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that organization is a mess. It's a problem. You know, like you said, guys. Like, you know, the players that they traded, we'll never let them live it down. How they traded Hop for pennies on the dollar. And then, you know, your franchise player, all-time player in J.J. Watt wants to be traded away from there. We know there's a problem. You know what I mean? We know there's a problem. And, you know, listen, legal issues with Watson aside, the guy's a great player and doesn't want to be there anymore. There's a problem in Houston. Houston, we have a problem, and it's the organization. So, you know, I think, you know, Bill O'Brien did everything in humanly possible to ruin that franchise, and they're going to be paying for it for years. Go ahead.
And they can't blame ownership now because the last ownership went to Tennessee. Now they tried new ownership, and they messed it up again.
Yeah.
There is one, since you mentioned DeAndre Hopkins, there is one topic I want to throw out there. DeAndre Hopkins. Cole Beasley, there's a lot of talk of a lot of players refusing to get the COVID vaccine. And there's a lot of talk about what that means for those players, including the potential of them forfeiting their salaries if they refuse to get the shot and getting suspended for the whole season for it. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
I want to hear your thoughts first.
So, I mean, you got to do what you got to do, right? If you don't get the vaccine, you can't be in close proximity with other multi-million-dollar players. You just can't because you're going to spread it around. You're going to start mutating shit, and it's going to be bad. It's going to just cause all sorts of bad things to happen for your league. And you're not going to get folks back in the stands. And that's, I mean, TV is nice. TV makes you a lot of money. TV makes you most your money. But those butts in the stands, losing those is why the NFL had to cut their salary cap last year. So they need to get the fans back in the stands, which means they need the players to get vaccinated. And they also need the people to get vaccinated so this can be all over. If the players don't get vaccinated, that's going to just put more onus on the fans to not get vaccinated. So for everyone's sake, if you're not vaccinated, you can't play, and that's fine. Like, the NFL is a business. You've got to follow the rules if you want to be employed by that business. So as far as I'm concerned, kudos to the NFL, and anybody who doesn't want to can start their own league somewhere. That always seems to work out, right?
Yes, exactly. TP, what do you think about the COVID protocols going on in the NFL right now?
I think tomorrow Biden's coming out with a law, too, or some type of mandate. So I can't wait to hear what he has to say. And just looking at the situation, I understand that players don't want to put that vaccine in their body, but it's like they want to still play. So it's a very hard decision. You know what I'm saying? Like, I did it just because I know I like to travel. I don't want to be restricted on being like, oh, well, we need you to have a vaccination. It was like, I just did it to do it. But I'm as cautious as DeAndre is. Like, I didn't really want to do it just because I didn't get all the wherewithal, the caution notices and things of that nature. But it's like, you got to make that decision upon yourself. I'm not forcing him or saying he should or not. I mean, it's your body. You do what you do. But again, you and Cole Beasley, you guys are playmakers. So you're going to be in contact with people. And let's just say you are a carrier and don't know it. And you could end up messing up other people or slowing the game down and knowing that, the commissioner said that they're not going to remake games if teams are, you know, down or decimated with people with COVID. I guess they continue to play that game but play without that player. So this is tough. And to see big names like DeAndre Hopkins threaten to retire, like that's huge just due to the nature of the world today. So I don't blame them. Don't get me wrong. I don't blame them because ultimately it's their body. But if they want to go out there and play ball and get money and do the thing that they love, they have a critical decision to make, and they have to make it ASAP.
Get money. Oh, sorry, I had to throw that in there. Sirius, what's your opinion on the COVID protocols in the NFL right now and players looking to not take the shot or refuse to take it or, you know, take a stand against the NFL?
You know, what I'm about to say, gentlemen, is going to be extremely controversial. And I'm going to go ahead and preface this from the get-go. I understand that we live in a society right now where people fear what they don't understand. This COVID vaccine and this COVID pandemic, you know, smacked everybody in the head and caused us all to kind of life for the better part of 2 years. We are now in a position or in a place where we have a vaccine that is out that will help fight this virus. I think back to when my child was born, and we took him to, you know, get his, you know, immunizations and his shots and everything. That was a mandate that we had to uphold for our son to be entered into daycare. When I went to go get the job that I'm blessed to have, I had to get a shot to, you know, make sure that all my levels and my health was good in order to provide for my family and to provide for my loved ones. This vaccine is essentially that. You know, we are in a place, you play a sport where you are in close proximity with the next man. Hell, you're tackling people, you're running through people, quarterbacks, you know, at any given time, got their hands on another man's nuts. I mean, this is a very contact sport. And for players to, you know, take this particular stand, in my opinion, is Bush League and it is selfish because you can't necessarily scream my body, my choice when your choices could potentially affect somebody else's body. I had to sit there and bury my family members during this pandemic because they caught this virus.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't catch it from people that they were close to due to contact tracing. They caught it from people they didn't know. And so for a player who has the understanding now, for a player who has all the knowledge and all the doctors and all the information in the world available to them, for them to take that particular stand, in my opinion, it's selfish, because you can't claim my body, my choice at that point, because, again, it's your body, but your choice is affecting somebody else's body. The Washington football team and others are dead last, according to recent reports, and vaccination rate. I'm disgusted by that. Because you're then going to go out and play football and potentially infect somebody else. The Washington Nationals have an outbreak right now. Again, I live in Metro D.C. I live here. They have an outbreak right now. And the crazy thing about it is, you know what I'm saying, according to reports that I read before we jumped on air tonight, majority of those players are vaccinated. So it doesn't alleviate the ability to get to catch the virus, but the one person who caught it first was not vaccinated, and he spread it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm sorry if I ruffled some feathers. I'm sorry if I've, you know, people got in their feelings, but if you're in a position where you are going to be interfacing with people, where you're going to be close proximity with people, you're going to be making continual contact with people time and time again in the office, out of the office, in the meeting rooms, out of the meeting rooms, on the practice field, on the football field, whatever the case may be, then you need to do the best you can to make sure you protect not only yourself but others, and to put yourself above protecting your fellow man is disrespectful.
So I got a little bit of response. First of all, I like the way you're cooking, bro. Slice me off a little piece of that. Please don't apologize for being upfront and blunt. You already explained it was going to be controversial, so thank you for your point of view. Beginning of last year, when people started taking measurements to try to go against the spread or try to prevent the spread, there were a lot of people that were saying, oh, they just overreacted. They're doing too much.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the year continued to unfold, some of these same people that were saying they were doing too much were then saying, well, we didn't do enough. And now look at it, right? Now, and if you go back and look, you can pick many a different article. You can find articles with the same person taking the same taking opposite views within 3 months of each other. I promise you, it's out there. Okay, so we got the same situation now, and a lot of businesses, schedules, I've been seeing some corporate schedules, even like refund policies for airlines and things like that for things that were lost over the pandemic, where originally they were extending out to the end of 2021. Now it's going out through the end of 2022. They're extending a lot of these refund policies and things because they believe if we're not careful, this pandemic is going to carry on over into one more calendar year. And that's a very strong possibility. And the more people you have pushed back against things like this and not get to vaccinate and not get vaccinated or whatever, like, the more likely we are to take a step back in that other direction and have to be more locked down. I mean, you think about it, like, there are a lot of other countries out there that haven't opened up nearly as much as we have right now and still kind of complaining. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all unfolds. Everybody has a right to choose whether or not you take the vaccine, but if you don't take the vaccine, then you should be more mindful and almost go back to a lot of the same movements that you had during pandemic and realize that you're still at risk and you're still at risk of affecting others. Otherwise, that's just, quite honestly, not being very considerate of the public around you. You know what I mean? So they have the right, but like you said, every business organization has the right to require certain things in order for you to participate. And they're giving you a lot of money. The one concern that I have, and I will say this, especially when there's $1 million on the line, because I've heard other people do this already, people that I have had contact with, but
I'm like, you're timing that I got this early on so I could travel, because I like to travel, and I thought it would make that at least a little bit more convenient in the end to go ahead and get that done. But I have heard stories of people that have found providers, said they got the vaccine, had somebody sign off on it, but never had the vaccine injected into their body.
You know,
so the one thing
I totally agree with you guys, and you know, serious, your opinion is your opinion. I, you know, we never shy away from get the controversy around here. We're gonna talk about it. You don't like, we don't like it, we don't like it, but we agree to disagree and move on. And I totally agree with your stance and where you're coming from. My thing is I'm high risk, right? I have a medical condition that makes me high risk, so I chose to take the vaccine. My wife is a first responder. She's around it all day. So she chose to take the vaccine because she has two small kids and she has me to worry about bringing it home. When she was working as being a first responder and there was no vaccine, I was at risk because she might have brought something home to me. You know what I'm saying? Where there was no protection. All we had was freaking rubbing alcohol and what have you. You know what I'm saying? So, and Lysol and hand sanitizer. You know what I'm saying? So that was a risk in itself. So the problem I have is with Beasley, your first reaction was your reaction. You want to live your life how you want to live it. You think that the NFL is taking your freedom away. That's the big cop-out these days, right? With everything, you're taking my freedom away. I have to wear a mask. I got to get vaccinated. You're making me do it. That's my freedom, my First Amendment, right? Go, you know, I'm about to say, you know, go with yourself, but give me a break. I mean, we're not doing it to be a socialist, fascist country. We're doing it to save your life, to save other people's life that you're coming in contact with. I'm vaccinated. I still walk around with a mask because I don't know you. I don't know people around me. I don't know if you got vaccinated or not. There's no sign on say, hi, my name is Billy and I've been vaccinated. I don't know you. So I'm going to protect myself as much as I possibly can. And that's what the NFL is trying to do. If you don't want to get vaccinated, then you got to adhere to the rules that, you know what, the Players Association should have came out strongly against if they had a big problem with it. They didn't. So now the NFL got to make the rules and said, you know what, if you're not vaccinated, you need to get tested every day. You need to be, you know, go through certain protocols every day because you're not vaccinated. They're trying to protect they're trying to protect the players, but they're trying to protect themselves, the league, and their money. They want to keep these games going as much as possible. No cancellations, no breakouts like the Yankees just had last week. But you know, a coach and then it spread to a player and a couple of players on the team. That they don't want that to happen. So you know what? You don't want to get vaccinated? Fine. Now Beasley's coming out and saying, well, information's being withheld. Okay, that's not your real reason. Your first reason was your real reason, in my opinion. But if you think information's being withheld, then that's a problem that everybody should be talking about. But what information do you need? Like, anything about the COVID vaccines is out there for you to go on the internet and read it. Read it for yourself. I don't understand what information you're talking about. Is it the vaccine or how the NFL is treating the pandemic? What information is being withheld from you so that you can't make an informed decision about getting a freaking vaccine that people should be getting and don't want to get because you got people, you know, influencers lying about the vaccine in general and saying that it's not safe, it's dangerous, it's not blah, blah, blah. And all these people are lying about it so that, you know, the people don't get vaccinated. Meanwhile, people are dying, like Sirius's family that tragically passed away. This is what we're dealing with here. Moronic people that you know, that it's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. You don't want to get vaccinated, you got to follow the rules. That's it. And at this point, I don't know what to tell you. You don't want to get vaccinated, you don't want to follow the rules, then you know what? Then go do it to yourself. Go do it in the corner. You know what I mean? Go kill yourself. I don't care. Don't spread it to somebody else. You know what I mean? You want to take that risk. Don't take that choice out of somebody else's hand that you could pass it along to. That's where I sit on it. But you know, controversy like throws in a bomb into the room and then closes the door and runs out. That's what controversy does. I you gotta love James, but that, you know, it's a frustrating kind of time right now with the pandemic strikes like spiking back up, and variants coming out. I mean, we need to do everything we need to do to get back to. It's not normal right now. It still ain't normal. Everybody thinks it is. It's sweet out there. No, it's not. It ain't normal, man. We gotta do better out here. So, that's my 2 cents. We got 20 minutes left. We got a lot to get to, and we're not even gonna have time to get to it. TP, I don't know where you want to head. Do you want to talk NBA draft? Do you want to talk about the Olympics?
Before we get to the Olympics, though,
yes,
Mike D'Antoni stepped down from the Brooklyn Nets.
Yes.
That is interesting.
Yes.
Talk
about
now,
it. Let's
it's
go.
Like you just left Houston, and how things were. You guys did look good, but it didn't work out. They went on the green pastures, got rid of you. You go to Brooklyn for a season, and it looks like it's going to work because Nash knows your system. You're back in front of Harden, and it works out well. Injury bug starts clipping you guys at the end of the season, and you step down now. Are you retiring, or are you trying to look for another coaching position? So this is very interesting to see Mike D'Antoni pull the trigger at this point in the offseason where he's in front of one of the clear-cut leaders of the Eastern Conference, one of them. I'm not saying the because they have issues within the roster and on that bench, and I think they could figure it out if they have some people hit shots, Joe Harris. I'm sorry. But if somebody could come up with some shots, it would be interesting. But I feel like they have the guns to do it. But him stepping down now is like, well, Steve, I've shown you enough from when you were a player now as a coach and get the job done. So I don't know, but me seeing this news is just baffling. I've always had a funny feeling about D'Antoni. Only time I really had a huge respect for him was when he was in Phoenix because I love that run-and-gun basketball. Nothing like up-and-down basketball. And it worked while it was Stoudemire and Nash, the company, and Matrix. But then once he moved on to, you know, to another team, it got interesting. And he had to leave New York, and then he got to Houston and got James Harden at the same time. So it looked like it was going to work, and they kept falling short. Now he's in front of Brooklyn. I just don't know, like, what's next. Is this an official retirement? He's done with the game? Or is he not just feeling the Brooklyn vibe and trying to go somewhere else where he may fall into a team that isn't as strong to be a – leader to get to a final or Eastern Conference final or Western Conference final?
I mean,
you know,
go ahead, Sirius.
The fun thing about that situation is, Thomas, and again, I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about that here in a minute when we start talking basketball, but, you know, Steve Nash, you know, who else is on his bench? Because let's not forget his other assistant coach is now the head coach in Boston. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
like,
yeah,
ultimately,
yeah. That's the
like,
second. That's the second coach that they lost.
Yeah. So like, who else is on his bench? Like, I like something smells fishy here. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there was no rumblings or anything like that, and you know, something smells fishy. Like, I'm sure D'Antoni's going to emerge again somewhere. You know, as a head coaching candidate, or he may go to college and coach. I'm not too sure what basketball squad is still in the market for a head coach. But ultimately, man, this is shocking because I don't think anybody saw this coming, especially after the season that they had. And now, where does Steve Nash go to fill his bench, you know what I'm saying? Who does he lean on? Because the guy he, you know, used for defense is now coaching in Boston, and the guy who kind of leaned on for his offense just, you know, up and retired or up and stepped away or stepped down or whatever the case may be. So it's interesting.
I think Nash understands the offensive side of the ball. I think the who knows if there's something health-wise going on. Who knows? You know, there's not many NBA jobs available right now. Maybe it's take a step back. But, you know, to me it's interesting to see who he's going to get to come in and help on the defensive side of the ball more than the offensive side for Nash. I think you know, D'Antoni definitely is a knowledgeable basketball guy, but I don't know how much it really hurts Nash's development as a coach if there's more to be had there, which I think there very well could be. As young as he is as a coach, I mean, I don't know that losing D'Antoni now after having spent as much time with him as he has over the course of his career is really going to be what causes Nash to fail if he does.
Yeah, I mean, the head coaching jobs are pretty much locked in, right? They, you know, I think basically the last two to fall were the Pelicans and the Wizards, and they just hired their coaches. So, I don't know. Listen, I really don't know why he's not coming back. There might be something there, but until we get more information, I just don't know. I really, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know why he's – it was weird that he was there. I could see him kind of mentoring Nash, but, like, the way everything's kind of shooken out this year, like, with Kyrie Irving kind of saying, we don't really need a coach, just throw a ball out there. You know, the whole situation in Brooklyn is kind of messy to me. So, I don't know. We'll see how this shakes out. But I definitely want to touch on the draft because that's coming tomorrow. Very exciting about that. I think everybody kind of has an idea who the Pistons will take with the number one pick. If it's not Cade Cunningham, I think the Pistons should be kicked out of the league. We can find another team to take their place. Cunningham is clearly the best player in this draft and the biggest upside. But, I mean, after that, we're talking Houston at number two, Cleveland at number three, Toronto at number four. I mean, serious, I'll come to you, man. Like, where do you see the rest of this draft shaking out, and who's the player that you're most intrigued about in this draft?
You know, honestly, you know, sitting at the number two spot, obviously, I hope the Pistons do something stupid and go get Jalen Green or, you know, Evan Mobley or something like that. That way, you know, Cade can fall right into my lap. But in the event that Detroit doesn't either trade their pick, which I'm getting the feeling they don't even want the number one pick because, again, everybody and their mother has claimed for that spot, and I'm shocked that they didn't pull the trigger on a couple deals that they were presented. The guy I'm looking at, honestly, I'm curious to see how he transitions into the next level. In my opinion, is Jalen Suggs, the point guard from Gonzaga. There's something about his game that I just like. You know, he's a guy who's projected, according to this latest mock that I'm currently looking at, he's projected to go fourth overall to Toronto, which, you know, if Kyle Lowry stays there, would be, you know, decent to kind of learn the game from him and kind of see, you know, what it's like to, you know, play there with, you know, Lowry and Van Vliet, whatever the case may be. And then it kind of gets jumbled shrimp kind of, you know, all the way down the board. But in my honest opinion, man, I want Cunningham in Houston, like, right now.
That's
and
not happening.
Hopefully, again, I don't think it will. You know what I'm saying? I don't think it will. Like, here's the funny thing. I saw a post on Twitter and Instagram today that, you know, said Jalen Green said he wants to live and play with Detroit. That's what the post said. And I'm with that smoke. I'm with all that. You know what I'm saying? Jalen Green, go ahead and go to Detroit. I'm not mad at you for it, bro. Which means Cunningham falls onto my lap.
So, yeah, they've worked out a couple people in Detroit, but I think Cunningham only worked out for one team, and that's Detroit.
Yeah, you know,
like,
he
wasn't even
worked on one team, but he wasn't interested. But at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying, Detroit goes to the podium and selects somebody else. Cunningham is coming to Houston regardless of whether he works out for us or not. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
so,
right. Absolutely.
With that being said, man, it's going to be an interesting draft tomorrow. I can't wait to see how it all unfolds. You know, the biggest thing that I'm curious about is, you know, what, you know, current NBA player gets dealt tomorrow. Again, there's been a lot of rumblings about players moving teams. Obviously, the Lakers are obviously going to be, you know, dominate the headline about getting this player or that player. You know, OKC got, you know, picked from now until my son's 18th birthday. So they may want to give up some of these, some players, some picks to get a couple players in there. You know, nobody gives a flying F about the Knicks, so they can stay pat and do whatever the hell they do. But at the end of the day, man, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to see what happens.
Yeah, I totally expect Ben Simmons to get traded tomorrow. I think that's going to be kind of like a rev up for him. And you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Bradley Beal gets dealt too. Mike or TP, I don't know who was talking. I'd love to get your guys' opinion on the draft tomorrow.
I'll
TP,
it.
Go ahead.
There's going to be a lot of them. John Wall might get moved too from the Rockets. We got if they already was intrigued by making moves, like a lot of people might get moved that ain't supposed to be there. They said somebody's interested in Schroeder by signing him over $100 million. He's looking for the 100. So it's like a lot of stuff could end up happening. I thought the Lakers was going to cave in and give him the 100, but it's somebody already gawking at him like, yeah, we want you. So it's like, a lot of stuff could go down tomorrow.
Let me get Schroeder $100 million, man. What the hell?
I wouldn't even give him
$100 bill.
I read today the Lakers were close, but then I also heard that the Bulls were very, very interested in Schroeder as well. That was the team.
Chicago said it.
That was the team.
Chicago
I heard
said over 100. He's right.
Yeah,
wow.
Chicago?
I'd also be curious to see if, you know, anything could happen tomorrow. I'm not saying it will, but you could see something with Lillard, or you could see something with Westbrook, or you could also see something with you could also see something with Jaylen Brown possibly, depending on if Boston decides to split those wings. So, I mean, there are a lot of things that could happen. And like you said, can any of those teams package together, guys? You know, the one thing that I will push back on a little bit, and I'm not 100%. I know that Cade Cunningham is the best player right now coming out of this draft. I think there's a possibility that Jalen Green could have a higher ceiling than Cade Cunningham at this next level. Just because I think he's more athletic, and I think he's got the ability. He's still younger a little bit, not much, but he's still got the ability to do well on both ends of the court. I think Jalen Green has the ability to be a serious star, but we'll see. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how it turns out. So if a team thought that their rebuild project was more long term, I could understand maybe why, but I wouldn't take Jalen Green with the first pick. I could imagine trying to get some assets to move back a little bit and still get him.
So you think they would?
Jalen Green will look good in Houston too.
He would.
I think Jalen Green's a very nice player.
Yeah, I think the worst thing that Houston can do is getting Jalen Green. From what I've seen. The kid can play, and I think he will definitely bring something nice to Houston. I think this draft is it has some depth. It's not star power driven, but it has some really good players, especially later in the rounds that you can get. But I agree with you guys. Every take you guys have, I think the draft is going to be really more about trades than it is the players that are getting drafted after Cunningham. To me, I mean, because. You're right. Lillard could be on the move. Russ could be on the move. Bradley, Kemba could be on the move. Like, there's a, you know, Wall, you know, Schroeder, Kuzma, Simmons. There's a lot of pieces that could be moved around to get up in the draft to get a solid player in this draft, you know, and that's always what it is. Like, you can get a good player in the draft, but you can also trade for that player on that potential and really kind of get the value of the trade down to move a player that you might not be able to move. So I wouldn't be surprised if something like that happens. But surprisingly to me, my guy from UConn, his Booknight stock keeps rising and rising. They don't think he's going to go past your team, TP, at number six in OKC.
Yeah,
I'm surprised.
Right,
yeah, I'm surprised. Like, I like Booknight, but I've been saying to anybody that listens to me, he's not ready. And I thought another year at college would have been good for him. I think he can play. I think he can make an impact. I don't think he's going to make an impact in his rookie year.
I think he has all the tools. He can score at all three levels. He can shoot. But I thought another year at UConn would have really benefited him. But, you know, his workouts are impressive. He hit every shot. Like, his stock is rising. And you know, I thought he would be a late lottery steal. He's super high in the draft. So whoever told him to get into the draft, congratulations. You made the right move. But there's a lot of kids in this draft. I like Wagner from Michigan. I think he's going to be a solid player. Jalen Johnson from Duke, you know, he's a guy that I think is a real sleeper because he didn't play a lot of games at Duke. But I think if he falls far enough, somebody in the back half of the lottery or even, like, outside of the lottery is going to get a pretty good player with a lot of upside. So those are guys that I'm kind of keeping an eye on that I'm watching.
This mock I'm looking at right now has him falling all the way to 13 to Indiana.
Right. But I saw him going even farther back to, like, I don't think he'll go past the Warriors at 14. But I'm looking for the Warriors to trade out, like to really kind of trade out of the number 7 spot, you know what I mean? But to get an impact player to go with their star. So, but, you know, I think Jalen Brown is you know, only played, what, 13 games and struggled, but he has the upside. And I agree with you, Sirius. I think he's the most NBA ready after Cunningham. Like, I think he can come in and really have an impact. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, we're wrapping up here. We got, you know, we didn't even get to the USA basketball, how they embarrassed themselves against France. But they came back today, early this morning, and against Iran and stomped them 120-66. So we'll see if they can make a run. Mike, thank you so much for calling in, man. I love your energy. I love your points. You bring up some great stuff. Give us a quick plug while we get out of here.
Oh, man, just much love to Sports City Chefs. Much love to Time for bringing me around, bringing us on board, joining the barbershop on Clubhouse, and always thankful to be a part. I'll see you guys again tomorrow on the baseball block.
Absolutely, man. A lot of baseball stuff to talk about, man. We definitely love the barbershop, man. You guys do great stuff over on Clubhouse, so great for having you. Sirius, you know what to do, brother. Give us a close.
You know, man, it's your boy Sirius repping that 412 and the 703. I'm a close on this. You know, athletes are people. You feel me? And
yeah.
What I have been watching and seeing being written and talked about in regards to Simone Biles is disrespectful. To deal with what she has dealt with personally and professionally, I don't think any person can deal with that type of just pressure and strain. I'm not going to get into the specifics. We all understand what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So salute to her for having the wherewithal to put the team above your ego. Salute to her for being brave enough to speak up and say, yo, I'm not right, I need help. And if you're one of these people that are bashing her or anything like that, shame on you. I said this when I spoke about the COVID situation. People fear what they don't understand. And when we start dealing with this thing as mental health, you know, we don't understand it because we can't put a face on it. We can't wrap a bow around it. We can't look at a person and say, hey, you have this issue. So we are quick to lash out. We are quick to judge. We are quick to point blame. And that is not conducive to healthy living. That is not conducive to being together. And she says she's struggling. We need to wrap our arms around her, you know, send her, you know, congratulatory remarks, whatever we need to do to help her get back right. But salute to her, salute to the rest of the women for competing and bringing home silver. And I'm going to leave y'all with that, man. Definitely check us out on the website, the blog, the merchandise, the hats and everything. We got some more stuff coming out. Shout out to the squad over there, you know, in the barbershop for letting me come over and kick it with y'all on a regular basis. Thanks for them for coming over here, kicking it with us, man. It's about bringing everybody together. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, blue, green, purple. If you talk sports, we want to holler at you, man. So definitely check us out on either one of those platforms, man. We're doing big things, man. Thank you so much, man. Your boy Sirius is gone.
Respect. Yeah. Yeah, respect. Mental health is real, man, and I was actually talking to my wife about it. So, salute to Simone Biles for, you know, doing, you know, what's best for her. And, you know, we don't know these people go through in their life. We don't know what their situation is. She's a kid. She's 24 years old, man. You try to live in her shoes. Can't go out. You think she can go get a burger out in the world being Simone Biles? You know, it's constant, 24/7, 365. We don't know what these people go through, man. You know, like, you know, what you eat don't make me shit, but you don't know what these people go through, man. So shout out to her. But listen, sportscitychefs.com, the blogs, the interviews, the merchandise, get to the website. We got the baseball buffet tomorrow, 9:00 Eastern Standard Time, talking some baseball. Lots of stuff unpacked there. But, TP, you already know what it is, man. Get us out of here.
Yeah, TP, I say you're lucky because I meant war today. On that note, tell a friend that it's the chefs again. We'll be back at it Sunday also. And if they don't know, now they know.
Sports City, Chefs. Sports City. Kaboom, Sports City chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs.